Well, good morning again, Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area. This is our fifth program, the last one for the week. And I think we're going to take on a pretty good chunk of meat. It's not complicated at all. Meat is not complicated. Meat tastes good. It takes a little chewing, but it's a fabulous taste if you know what a good burger or a good steak is. And from what I understand, Texas knows better than anybody what a good piece of meat tastes like. Let's look to Romans this morning, Romans chapter 6. Romans is a fantastic book. It is the concrete of our doctrinal basis. And most people I talk with think Romans is just a complicated, deep book, and it's not. It's just something you got to read by understanding your scriptures, rightly divided. What is it that Paul's talking about? And I know I can't get all what I need to say here regarding Romans chapter 6. I don't think I can get it all done today. So if I don't, we will continue it Monday. It'll give you the weekend to think about it, think about some of the things I've said. I hope I've perked an interest in folks, that you are inviting your friends to listen in the morning. It's available on the website. If you can't make the morning program, the 30-minute program is available on the website. You'll see the little sign for a cup of goodness there, a little coffee cup right there. You can't miss it. Listen in there. I used to have notes with all my sermons, but I just haven't been doing that the last few years, a couple here and there, but I could put notes out, but I think you'll just take your notes as you go. This is only 30 minutes, not even that when you include the music. It's about 15, 20 minutes of teaching and, 5, 10 minutes of music. So anyway, let's get into this thing. Romans chapter 6. If you read through the chapter, just, again, skim through it like most tend to do if we read it at all anymore. And again, this is King James only. You will see that you'll be thinking he's talking about sinning, the action, the verbiage, the verb of doing sins. You're sinning. You're doing something wrong as such. But we have to put a couple things together. We put Romans chapter 6, 1 through 14 together. That's a message by itself. And then Romans chapter 6, 15 to 23. That's a separate section for what he's talking about here. Then we go to Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 10, and Colossians chapter 2, and we see what is taking place here. So I'm not really going at this necessarily the correct procedure. We should probably start with Colossians chapter 2. We should probably then jump into some of these other chapters, Romans chapter 10, for example. But I'm just thinking, let's just perk some interest here. See if I'm going to get any emails or even phone calls regarding these things. Let's just look at Romans chapter 6. Now, if I have a couple minutes when I'm done, I'll pop a couple other verses in there. But if not, like I say, we'll put it all together on Monday. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We got to stop right there. He is not saying, shall we continue sinning? He is talking about in sin. Now let that sink. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now remember, we're not talking about sinning, doing things we ought not, doing things that don't please God. We're not talking about sinning, we're talking about in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized, as a spiritual baptism, Paul teaches, no water baptism, as we'll talk about later, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Okay, so we're dead. How can we continue in sin? We're dead. We're dead to sin. Like that, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we're a sincere, true Christian, our lives should change. Is this a bondage list of do's and don'ts? No. You'll see what we're talking. This is where the goodness of God steps in here. It's not just a list of things that you have to do to please God, like a bondage list of things that Paul now has compared to the apostles. No, it's not the same thing at all. You'll see. Hang in there with me for a couple of weeks. 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, body of sin, our body is a body of sin, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Oh, I have to take you to Colossians 2:16. That's just a good place to put this in there. Colossians, go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 talks about something that we tend to call spiritual circumcision. It's an operation. It's a spiritual operation. You'll see what I mean here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 here. In whom, referring to the risen Savior, of course, also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Okay, so it's not a physical thing that takes place with our hands as such. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Remember we talked about we died with him and now we're risen with him in Romans. Arisen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. There is an operation that takes place, but it's an operation made without hands. It's an operation that only God can do. It deals with our body of sins. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, meaning made alive, not born again, but made alive. I have to talk about that born again thing too, though. Anyway. And the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew over them openly, triumphing over them in it. What is this talking about? This operation separated our soul from our flesh, body of sins. Sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But how would Christ be in us? How could the Spirit of God be in us if we're still, as though, attached to our body of sins? Okay, well, this sounds like science fiction. No, this is how this has to take place. This is what takes place at a sincere salvation. An operation is done where your soul is cleansed and Christ imputes his righteousness to us, which we'll see in Romans chapter 4. He charges to us, he imputes to us his righteousness, and he will not impute our unrighteousness to ourselves. He took our sins upon himself. That's why we have nothing to confess. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. That's not to us. He takes our sins and he takes care of that. We're clean, washed in the blood as such. We are clean. Our soul is clean. Our body is not. And we'll show you that in Romans chapter 7. So what's taking place here, see, is Christ does not expect us to stop sinning. Following Jesus' footsteps in the Gospels is not going to stop anybody from sinning. And anybody who's listening to me this morning and thinks such, you know that you have not stopped everything you need to stop doing based on your religion of goodness, of morals. We just don't. Our life gets better. We learn how to please God through Paul. But you know, Paul even struggled. Oh, did Paul struggle. Let's look at Romans chapter 7, verse 14. This is a fantastic explanation. What I'm trying to get, I guess I'm not going to get it all done today. What I'm trying to get you to see is We are no longer in sin. There is still sin in our body. Our flesh is full of sin. And if we choose to follow such, are we sinning? No. We're doing something wrong. We're doing wrong. We're not pleasing God. And those works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And if they're not based on Paul's teachings, Paul's gospel, Romans chapter 2, verse 16, then they will burn in the judgment fires. And that which comes out that we've done that pleases God based on Paul's teachings, Romans chapter 2, verse 16, we will be rewarded for it. Those are works. They're no longer sins. You're no longer sinning. You're just choosing to follow sin. And I'll show you that that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, live any longer in sin. We are no longer in sin. But we still have sins in our flesh. He says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. This is Paul talking now. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So our soul is separated from our flesh, but we still have sin dwelling in us, but not in our soul. We're dead, risen with Christ, and risen in Christ. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, see there it is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, I mean I want to do the right thing, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, that's your physical. Then he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So we are separated. Me, the real me on the inside, my soul, my mind, my soul, is separated from this body of flesh made by an operation of God. The sword being the sword of the Spirit, which we know in Ephesians chapter 6 is the Word of God. Now, with that in mind, let's remind ourselves that we are not set free as all the modern Bibles, all the modern Christians, all the Christians, just everybody seems to think that we're set free. See, we're not set free. We are still inside this body of sins. But we are made free on the inside. How did God do that? Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So the law is no longer our standard of righteousness. We are no longer continuing in sin because we are no longer in sin. But we have a body that's full of sins and sin, and we choose to follow that sometimes. And when we follow our flesh, that will burn in the judgment seat of Christ, and we follow the Spirit of God, which is, again, through Paul's teachings of the risen Savior, not the Gospels, not 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, not 1st, 2nd Peter, not James, not Jude. If we follow Paul's teachings, we will please God, 1st Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Now, let's look at a couple more verses before we continue on in Romans chapter 6. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin, not set free, but made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. We should now be wanting more and more to do the right thing, and yet we're going to fight our flesh all the time. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. And Romans chapter 10, verse 4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So now we have no law to deal with, so sin is not imputed. It will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but it is not imputed to me. My soul is clean. I have been made free. I will be set free when I die, but I am made free right now. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amazing stuff. Now, with those seeds planted, let's go back to Romans chapter 6, and I can already tell we're going to have to continue this on Monday. But let's go a couple, let's see if we can do the first half here. Remember, we are talking about we have been made free by an operation of God without hands. Our soul is clean. Christ is in me. Spirit of God is in me. Sin is still in my flesh. Now I have to choose to follow my sins. I have to choose to follow flesh. I'm not in bondage to it. I'm not attached. I'm not part of it anymore. Now I just have to make the choice. Do I follow my flesh or do I follow the Spirit of God? You follow your flesh, it'll burn the judgment seat of Christ based on Romans 2:16, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you follow the Spirit of God, you'll be rewarded for it. Romans chapter 6, verse, we made it as far as 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We may choose to follow it, but we don't serve it. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If you are a true Christian, saved by your faith in Christ, and you receive the faith of Christ, which we'll talk about someday, you received an operation at the moment you were saved. You were cut away from your body of sins. You were made clean on the inside. You yourself, who you are dead, and now you're risen, and you are freed from sin. Not freed from doing things we shouldn't be doing, but we're freed from being in sin. Never heard this before, have you? Here we go. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Likewise, now this is to us, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, not sinning, but unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. It's still in our flesh. But now it says, let not sin therefore reign. Now we don't have to do what we want to do in the flesh. We don't have to do that anymore. We have to make a choice. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Before it did. Before you were saved, sin had dominion over you. You were attached to your body, your flesh. That's why, by the way, Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you know many people that are religious, but they're still attached to their flesh, to their physical sins? They even do the right things, but when they're attached to the flesh, those works mean nothing to God. They're not freed from sin yet. So sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now that's the first half of Romans chapter 6, 1 through 14. Now the second half, 15 to 23, deals with making the choice to do things that we ought not be doing. But we're no longer in sin. And if this doesn't make sense yet, hang on. We'll go through more of this on Monday. Just think about it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are made free. We're not set free. We are made free. That is the goodness of God. Be sure to check the website over the weekend, www.scatteredchristians.org, and do some searching all on your own, and feel free to find the music site as well, and pick some of your favorite hymns. If you want me to put them on the program, drop me an email at Sousaman, Sousaman, at Bechtel, Bechtel.com. Email me your thoughts and questions and concerns. Don't be afraid to sing along with these songs at the end. This morning we have He's a Wonderful Savior to Me and Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Sing along and have a great time. And remember, the goodness of God is found only in a King James Bible. It must be rightly divided based on Paul's teachings only. The whole Bible is there for us, but only Paul's books are written to us. We'll see you again on Monday.